Hare Krishna. I'm very happy that you have all kindly come to this seminar called The Temple of the Heart. And before we start with the seminar, I would like to give a little introduction to my seminar so that you know what you can expect, also that you know what things to bring along with you, and so on and so forth. Now, while I'm giving this introduction, I'm noticing that not all of you have a piece of paper and a pen. If you will require them, because we will be making a writing exercise. If you do not have it right now here, please, how to do this, if you all run. Do you have all pen and paper? No? Yes? Who would have to run to get it? Not so many. Maybe then, if you were, or does someone have two pens and two, here are two pens? Or, yeah. Okay. I think no one has to run because it would take some time. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As a devotee in our Hare Krishna movement, who has a lot to do with introducing the public to Krishna consciousness, but who also talks and counsels with devotees, I have made an observation which brought me to give this type of seminar. My observation was that the reason why a person becomes at all interested in Krishna consciousness is that he wants to make a spiritual experience, an experience which brings him beyond the ordinary material experiences he has in his life. He wants to make an experience of the spiritual dimension, of God, of spiritual joy and ecstasy, and so on and so forth. And as a preacher, I have tried to answer to this need, both within the person who becomes interested in Krishna consciousness, as well as to the devotees in the movement, and more than anything, within my own life. I was startled when Srila Prabhupada answered a letter by one of his leaders. He gave many things, and in the end he said it was a missionary. There were questions how to carry on the mission. At the end he said, but the first business is to save yourself. Now, how do we make a spiritual experience, and therefore, how do we become Krishna conscious? When we study our own experience we gain certain answers. If we study a book of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a commentary to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or the Nectar of Devotion, I find a very startling or very, very motivating answer. A devotee must make a certain journey in his or her life. This journey is from pravrityatmak to nivrityatmak. I will express it in English. In the beginning, someone does his activities in Krishna consciousness with the body and with the words. It's all exciting. It is new. A new culture is there, and new things to speak. But if the devotee remains on this level, he will get into a crisis. The crisis is coming about from the mind. Only when a devotee goes from the active endeavor to the internal contemplation in Krishna consciousness will he or she be satisfied. Usually, in the beginning, our devotees can be seen to be extremely enthusiastic, flowing over with faith and utsahan and so on. But after some time, this energy fades away, and then a new energy must take the devotee. It's that his mind is absorbed in what he does, that his mind is pervaded with Shraddha, with the beautiful queen of faith, and that he has made some spiritual experiences. Usually these two terms, pravrityatmak, are translated with what you should do, and nivrityatmak is translated what you should not do. But another dimension of these Sanskrit terms, which is explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is that first there is the external endeavor with the body and with the voice, and then you must come to the platform where you have the where your mind is concentrated. He gave a So I observed this, that when a devotee can bring his mind to Krishna consciousness, if he is satisfied inside, he can become very happy and a lifelong devotee. But as long as he is only externally active and he speaks, but he is not realized, he will not be satisfied. This was the first observation which I had from the philosophical side. The second observation which I made, which led to the seminar, is that I have seen, at least in North Europe, that the buildings of our institutions are crumbling a little bit. You know our history in Germany. We were very successful in spreading Krishna consciousness until our leader experienced a reorientation in his life. And this led to a general crisis phases, and that temples, now there's talk of maybe selling this temple or that temple. And I began to think what to offer to the devotees now. I also, in my travels beyond Europe, saw that devotees more and more enter into the Grihastha ashram, which I think is a very natural and good phase of our movement, and they leave the temples. So I came up with a concept which soon began to spread. Everywhere posters like this were hung up: spirit soul, be smart, build Krishna's temple in your heart. I began to have myself an architecture book of my own temple in the heart, which I could show you here. Something which I would carry on with me wherever I would go. As a preacher, I often experience living on the road and not being in the temples. So I thought, let me build a temple in my heart. Soon, wherever I appeared, devotees began to make cakes like this one. It's a heart, a sundish heart. You can pass this around. Again, the same slogan, spirit soul, be smart. Please return it. You won't be able to eat it anyway. So, it became quite, how do you say, I went very deep into this in my life, and then 2 weeks ago I decided to give my first seminar on this in the Swiss Alps. We rented a beautiful place, something like a youth hotel, you could say. We rented it all for the 50 or 60 devotees and congregational members who came. It was right on the where the beautiful panorama was. We were all alone, so to say, and we went deep into the subject matters, which I have prepared also for you here in Radhadesh. What do I have prepared for you? I have prepared for you what our tradition says about smaranam, meditation. I have prepared the diamond throne meditation, which Srila Prabhupada has inspired us to do. We will talk about meditation on Krishna's names, form, his qualities. We will have many types of meditations to learn how we can become deeper and more contemplative in our Krishna consciousness. And we will end the seminar with a very interesting thing. We will actually, in our minds, leave Radhadesh and go to Vrindavan Dham. We have called, this will be a guided meditation. I've taken some of the techniques from modern psychology, and then when we come to to Vrindavan, gone to the purely traditional parts. Now before, will be an exciting seminar. We will do mantra meditation with different mantras. We will do it with a Brahmin from South India. We will have practical exercises. I will give you a short introduction to how to chant the syllable Om together with a yoga exercise and so on. It will be an experimental course. For two reasons. First of all, you have to become contemplative to know what it is. And second of all, it's late. You have two seminars behind you already, and we need to have our minds a little bit active. But before I start, I would like to tell you in what contents you have to place the seminar. It's very important to understand smaranam, or remembrance and meditation or contemplation, in the right context within our tradition, because otherwise we might develop misunderstandings about sadhan, and not be able to progress very healthily in spiritual life. See, Krishna can be obtained by the ninefold path of bhakti yoga. What is the first item? Shravanam, which means to hear about Krishna. Second item, kirtanam, to sing and to chant about Krishna. And smaranam, then we come to smaranam. Pada sevanam, worshipping the lotus feet, and so on. Notice, smaranam is the third item, not the first and not the second. When I was going to the Udupi temple, I saw something which was very interesting. Before the deity was actually such a type of arrangement. Now you will have to help me to give me the English name. What is it?
A gate, a cage,
thank you. Because I'm not a good drawer, you cannot see how it was arranged. It has big bars from silver, like this. Now when you were standing from the distance and looking at the deities, you only saw this, these, now I have the name, bars. Is it right? Bars, could we say bars? It's like a, what you have before the prison. I could only see this. They looked nice. They were from silver. But I didn't see the deity. I had to come very close and look through one of these openings. Then we could see the deity. So, obviously, I was curious about this unique viewing arrangement, or darshan arrangement, and asked the brahmanas, why is this so made? And they said, well, do you see there are 9 holes? Just like you can only view the Lord through the 9-fold process of bhakti yoga. Through one of these, you have to either apply one or do other processes, and then you can see him. You cannot see him without applying one of the 9 processes of bhakti yoga. So what we will be doing is, we will be looking through one of these holes at the Lord. The Smaranam hole. Usually, we look through the Shravanam hole and through the Kirtanam hole at the Lord. We hear the holy name and we do, we glorify the holy name. But today, we will do something extraordinary. We will look through a hole which most properly many of us are not accustomed to look through. Why are we doing this? The reason is because it will help us to work with the most important point in spiritual life, with our mind. The mind is the king of the senses, and if the servants, the senses run everywhere, but the mind is at a different place, you will have nothing of it. You will see during today's seminar an illustration of this, because some of you will fall asleep and their minds will go away, and you, although you hear the sound vibration, you will not be able to register anything and have, but you will have the benefit of association but not the benefit of information, and also not of transformation, because the mind must be there in what you're doing, otherwise what is done or what is perceived by the other senses is of little relevance to you. So we will help with this seminar. I do not want to make all of you into meditators who give up the Shravanam and Kirtanam process, but I would like to help you to fix your mind, to purify your mind, so that you can in your spiritual life have a greater appreciation to the main processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam. What we will also do is many surprises. I shouldn't say about this. So I would like to start with all of you with Jayarada Madhava. Maybe you can open the windows, because we will need a lot of oxygen, and then the seminar will start. Dadha madhava dunya So, for today, I will first of all talk a little bit on the power of the mind, and afterwards we will do some exercises. My father is from the train company. He's one of the directors of the German railway system. And one day came back from his work with something very, very unsettling to us children. He told us about one of his subordinates who was killed by his mind. This is what happened. This man was an electrical engineer and came into a wagon, that's a car of the railway system, the Bundesbahn, which was a refrigerator wagon. In this wagon they would transport vegetables and fruits and also everything else which you can find on the German kitchen. But somehow the fridge had come into disrepair, and now this man was sent into the car in order to repair so that it could again be cool and cold. But it so happened that when the man went in, some other of his colleague, who did not know that he was working inside, closed the door, which can be only opened from outside. Now the man in the car knew, or the, is it a wagon it's called, I believe. Wagon? No, the train wagon. Train wagon. Yes, the man in the train wagon knew he had only 5 or maximum 5.5 hours to survive that excruciating cold. He started to feel. He started to give signals, but no one heard him. After, no one knows how long, maybe 6 hours or 7 hours, they found the man. He was dead. The body, all everything in his, the whole body showed symptoms of freezing, being killed from the cold. But what they also found out, and here I request you to listen carefully, that there was no cold in the car because the electricity was switched out. It was a summer. It was summer atmosphere in the cart or in the wagon. It was nice fresh air because for cooling, there was fresh air. There was no reason for the man to die if he wouldn't have had a mind. The mind had every reason. The mind thought, "I will die. 5 hours." And then the mind gave signals to the body, and the body became blue and everything else, which the doctors can tell us about, which happened. This is the power of the mind. Lord Krishna describes the power of the mind in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says the three words, sada tat bhava bhavita. Whatever you think of, that you will become. Bhava means thought, bhavita. Just be sure that we tell you the right thing. Wrong. Bhava means the state of being, the existence, and bhavita means what you think of. What you think of will determine your state of being. In this life, and when you choose, or when you leave the material body, whatever is in your mind at that time will bring you to the next birth. This is a very important principle of our contemplation seminar. Your thought will determine your existence. It's not the other way around, like the materialist say that if you live well, then if you have all the nice arrangements around you, then you will be happy. No, no. Rich people show us quite the opposite. What you think of, even a poor person can, with the most simple or base surroundings, can be extremely happy. Yes, the mind determines what you are. And it has a healing effect on the body. I have been studying a little bit on a little bit about how people were sick and how by just taking on a different mental attitude they could cure the sickness. I will talk of a few common devotee ailments. One is the chronic fatigue. Very tired all the time and everywhere. It comes because you are bored in your life. It can come. I'm sorry. I have to say it again. One of the causes can be you are bored. Now, if you find something extremely exciting in your life, something which really enthuses you, then that chronic fatigue will be gone. People have made the most amazing experiences on this. It's called psychosomatic treatment. People had cancer virtually eating away their bodies because we are told they were a little keeping everything for themselves, being a little bit miserly and depressed and, you know, always closed in. And by some nice karma, they met some nice person, and all of a sudden they started to bloom. In our temples I have seen Matajis who were sickly up to the date when they actually found the husband for their life and began to bloom out and become, you know, effulgent, healthy personalities. I've seen brahmacharis as well in that situation. The mind is so important. We cannot underestimate it. Srila Prabhupada once said that a devotee, so this I will say later what he said about this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we have an interesting verse, spiritual biology, about the mind. Itita parishatam dhyayam, dhyayam means meditation, kudyam tena praveshita yatitat sat matim rajan purvarupam asanjayam. O king, once a wasp, you know this, bzzz, who sting you, forced a weaker insect to enter his hive and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor, and without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Thus one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. If you absorb your consciousness into something, you will become that. A marriage investigation has shown that marriages where the husband, which are good, where they are nice together, where the husband thinks a lot about his wife and vice versa, has an effect on the looks of them. The husband looks like the wife and the wife looks like the husband at the end. Because the absorption. Also in Krishna consciousness we have seen, you can try to hide a devotee with a artificial hair and a different type of conventional cloth, you know, like it is worn today, fashionable cloth. But people can see that this is a devotee. He is a Hare Krishna. I can see it from 10 kilometers. The mind is more important than the external. So let me... One of the functions of the mind is that it is the storehouse of all the experiences a person makes. These experiences which come in through our senses are stored and sometimes come out in an unthought way and produce a contradictory picture, as Srila Prabhupada says so nice. In the Bhagavatam it is compared that our mind is like the bottom of a lake. Then when the lake gets agitated, the bottom also gets agitated, and out of it comes the air which was captured by the leaves, and they come up to the surface and sometimes create a smell. Have you ever seen this in your spiritual life, that somehow all of a sudden a desire comes from somewhere you didn't think this is any more relevant for you? In your dreams you see something which is even against the rules and regulations. It comes out of the subconscious mind like a bubble of air which was captured there. Mind is a storehouse of everything which is there. If we ever want to become Krishna conscious, we need to put some good things into the storehouse so that we remember good things. Smaranam is nothing else than putting spiritual impressions deeply into the storehouse of your mind, that your life will become easier, happier, and more Krishna conscious in the real sense of the term. The Padma Purana says, if we think of Krishna, then we go to Krishna. If we think of other things, we go to other things in our life. It has been heard in the old days that anyone who meditates on the divine person of Achyuta or remembers him will attain his Achyuta's abode. A good example with which I would like to conclude this session and then go into practical things is the Brahmana of Pratishtanapura. He had once heard in a lecture of devotees that by thinking of Krishna, Krishna actually takes or let me say accepts the offering in the mind. It is so realistic. The Brahmana was a poor Brahmana and he could not afford to worship Krishna in a grandiose way. However, he had heard, and therefore in the morning he took his bath in the Godavari River. Then he did some pranayama exercises. I will also do some with you, which will help you to get your mind fixed. Then he really worshipped Krishna. He built a temple of solid gold and diamonds, placed a beautiful altar in there, went to many different holy places at once to collect water for bathing the Lord. He dressed the Lord, he paid his obeisances, he cleansed the temple, he got gold and silver pots from all the rivers, all in his mind. Only in his mind. He did this all in the mind. Then, one day, he cooked some sweet rice for the Lord. And as those who are cooks amongst us know, sweet rice should be served cold. Now to test his cooking, his mental cooking, what the cooking he had done in the kitchen of the mind, so to say. He stuck his finger inside. You know, there are different ways to find out temperatures, but when you're in a hurry, this is most probably the most effective one. He was in a hurry because he had to keep a certain time when he wanted to offer it, and he put it in, and then he felt such a heat that he was propelled to withdraw his finger from the pot. And when, as he awoke from his meditation, he saw the symptoms of burnt in the first degree. He was shaking his hand, and at this time the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, was smiling. Lakshmi was sitting, and you are smiling about what? Oh, you will see. He sent his Viman, which then brought the Brahmana from this earthly existence into the spiritual world where he lived. Where he became an associate of the Lord. This is what I... this is a story which the Srila Rupa Goswami quotes in the Nectar of Devotion as a story which to instill faith in us, just how important the meditation on the Lord is. Now we want to meditate a little bit on the Lord. I will go with you to the text in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord describes how we can meditate about him. And I want to request you to chant the Sanskrit word with me, Sanskrit verse with me. We can just start, we can do it in one, no need of repetition. Kavim Puranam Anushasitanam Ano Aniyam Samanusmaretya Sadhasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Adityavanam Tamasa Parastat. It's taken from the Bhagavad Gita 8:9. Can I request some of you who has a good English? No, I need to say it because for the tape. Here it is. Now, you will need to be a little attentive for this one, because I will ask you afterwards to make two writing exercises on this verse. In this verse, Lord Krishna actually tells us how we should meditate about him. What should we think of Krishna at the time of... I want to first of all ask you, when I say the word Krishna, what do you think of? How do you think of Krishna? Cowherd boy, what comes to your mind? What impressions have you stored in the mind? Playing flute. Almighty. Smiling. All attractive. Tribhanga. Stealing butter. Makanchor. Yes. I'm sorry. Nice flower garlands. Dancing. Nice and beautiful. He is sweet. His feet. He has feet. His feet. Yeah. Smaller than the smallest. Greater than the greatest. Very playful and adventuresome. Happy? Killing demons. Thank you very, very much. You have very good thoughts on Krishna. What a devotee usually thinks of when he thinks of Krishna is the Krishna of the Krishna book. The devotees are very advanced because they know the personal feature, the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as our seminar goes on, I will talk on these, the divine qualities of the Lord. We will meditate upon them. There are 64. We will meditate on the divine leelas of the Lord and the form of the Lord. However, now, because we are in the beginning of our seminar, we will meditate on another better about it. I think you have said smaller than the smallest. And you have said greater than the greatest. Who is this? Paramatma. We will see in a moment. In the third canto, 28th chapter, 27th verse and so on, we find a very interesting description of the Supersoul, the Lord who is always with us, who is in our heart. And the yogi should further meditate upon the Lord's four arms, which are the source of all the prowess of the demigods who control the various functions of material nature. The yogi should concentrate on the polished ornaments which are burnished by Mount Mandara as it revolves. The yogi should meditate on the lotus-like countenance of the Lord who presents his different forms in this world out of compassion for the anxious devotees. His nose is prominent and his crystal clear cheeks are illumined by the oscillation of his glittering alligator-shaped earrings. Beautiful. A yogi should meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari, a smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. All of us will cry 64 liters of tears in one life. This is a statistical figure. This will fill up an abstract ocean of tears which exists in an abstract dimension. Now, do you also sometimes grieve about life? If you want to have some solace, the scriptures tell us we should meditate about the smile of the Lord as he sits in the heart and smiles at the dualities of winter and summer and happiness and distress. We had a seminar and someone was grieving because his girlfriend had an accident, and I said, why don't you leave the seminar now and think about the Lord as he smiles in the being perfectly situated in the transcendental dimension. Maybe it helps you. And his sobbing stopped. The ocean was no longer filled. And he became happy and came back. Said, thank you, it worked. This is what the Bhagavatam in the third canto describes about meditation. It will go further in the tenth canto about Krishna the person, but it starts first with the Lord in the heart. Devotees need to be aware that the Lord is there in the heart, waiting for them to turn towards him by thinking about him. The Lord is there in the heart as your friend. Don't ignore him. When the Lord sees that the devotee turns to him, he gives him the intelligence how he can go to him. So we will now practice this a little. Thank you. And see a little bit about the qualities of the Lord. The verse says, one should meditate upon the Supreme Person, anusmarat means meditate, always think of. Please say, because this is a little responsive, as what? first quality? As the one who knows everything. This means Krishna knows your past, your present, and the future. The second quality is as he who is the oldest, Puranam. This means Krishna is the source of everything. Everything is born from him only. By his breathing, the universes emanate and they return. He's the oldest. He was there before anything else was there. Then, third, I will request you to write on these, on one of these points. So please, Anushasitaram. Krishna, the controller. Fourth, Ano Aniyangsam. He's smaller than the atom. Hridayananda Goswami always says, the Lord can become so small that he can enter the smallest, the atom, and make a walk for 6 hours without reaching the border of the atom. So small. It's amazing. Dataram, he's the maintainer. Krishna maintains the biggest planets in their galaxies by his inconceivable energy, and he gives the little ant his sugar grain or whatever he needs. Achintya Rupam, he is a person which we can never actually conceive of. He is pervading the whole world and is beyond it. And Aditya Vanam, he is luminous like the sun. And the last is Tamasaparastat. He's transcendental to all darkness. Now I want to request you to pick one of these qualities which are appealing to you the most and write about them. You will have exactly 5 minutes. What you should write is, you should just write anything which comes to your mind. I will explain to you before I stop the 5 minutes. Let us say you pick a quality who's the maintainer of everything. Then you write, he's maintaining anything, everything that means he gives the kitchen his prasadam. Is this true? I doubt it. You know what the mind says. Just write as you think. And after you have done it, we will do a second writing exercise, which will be very short and very surprising. Do you have any questions regarding the exercise? No. So we can go, choose any of these 8 qualities and just do free writing. This is what Satsvarup Maharaj has introduced also to our movement. Free writing. What comes to the mind? You won't have to read it to anyone else. It's your private document which you take with you. Hare Krishna. Request you to write down in 1 minute or 2 minutes the essence of your meditation. Say, you think about, when you want to think about who is the controller, what does this really mean for you? What did you want to express in your free writing, what you have done? Crystallize it. Put it in one sentence how you would describe one of these qualities of the Super Soul. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you very, very much for being so active. I would now to request some of you to please tell us what they were, the point which they chose, and how they meditate, or what do they, comes to mind when they choose this. The reason why I'm doing this with you is to help you a little bit to go on your own into contemplation and thinking about these things. I admit that this is a little forceful, you know, to write down and do everything under time. With this, I only want to open in you a channel which is necessary to be opened so that you can do it on your own. Yes, can I please hear some devotees introducing the point? Just very brief, you understand, it's the essence which we want, not the free writing. That is also a little private, the free writing. If you could share it. Yes? Speak please loud, so that...
I have chosen the point who is maintainer of everything. So what's the bottom? And the essence of this is the Paramatma and Bhaktavatsala. He's Bhaktavatsala.
Bhaktavatsala. Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. What does this mean for you?
He's reciprocating with his devotees and he's taking care of them.
Yes. Very, very good. Rupa Goswami says of all the qualities of Krishna, this Bhakta Vatsala, he's the well-wisher of his devotees, is most important for us in this world. Yes, anyone else? Like one of my devotee friends once said, I love Krishna because he gives me prasadam. His maintainer.
I had to... Who is it? It's the one who knows everything.
Yeah, the one who knows everything.
Kafim. Yeah. And I came to the point that actually mercy is the essence of it. Because he knows everything, so she should not lie, you should not, you should be honest, punishment. And what I find out how bad you are, still there is mercy when you surrender to him.
Yes, mercy is the point. Here, for you. Anyone else? Yes?
I was the second one. The old.
Yes.
I see that he's the old because he's the he's eternal. His energies are also eternal. So the old is there, it's just a material view.
Yes. Thank you very much. He's the eternal, he's the oldest.
He has no age.
He has no age, yes. So this is a very, this is what Krishna tells us, how we can think of him throughout the day. I have seen devotees who have written these 8 points down, and sometimes during the day they take the card out and look, hoo-hoo, and then they begin to think about Krishna in certain ways. You have to practice somewhere. And this is a good point because the Lord tells us how we should think about him. We want to do it authorized. And go through them with your life, experience them and so on. Now, for the remainder of our class, which we have another 10 minutes, I would like to introduce you a meditation which Srila Prabhupada has given. It is called the Diamond Meditation. This is a very beautiful segment of Prabhupada on meditation, and you will like it very, very much. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. It is not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very exalted throne for Krishna. You can imagine that in my heart I have placed a diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. That is accepted, and actually it becomes. Even within the mind, you think that I have kept one diamond throne, very costly throne, because Krishna is coming. He will sit down here. That is not false. That is a fact. Remember the Brahmana, it was not false. It was a fact in the spiritual dimension. So you create such a situation within your heart. Now Krishna has seated. Let me wash his feet with Ganga's water or Jamuna water. Now I change his dress to first class costly garments. Then I decorate Krishna with ornaments. Then I give him something for eating. You can simply think of this. This is meditation. It is such a nice thing. Anywhere you can sit down and think that Krishna is sitting in your heart and you are receiving him in such a nice way. This is not false. This is a fact. It is so easy. You can place Krishna on the throne of your heart in a meditative way, and he actually comes there. Have you ever seen a devotee, you know, who has material thoughts in his mind? How his effulgence is? Have you seen a devotee who happily sings the Hare Krishna mantra and sings of Krishna? Have you seen his effulgence? How shoop, his it's beaming. Now, this is because Krishna is there. Now I want to give you a little understanding from Archana, the puja department, what it means to worship Krishna, so that when you, I think, Srishti Kata, we should try to, can't we just move this thing, yeah, a little bit, yes. No, eins nach dem anderen, das ist zu viel. Sorry, we speak in German. Here you will see, best is you take this, because I need the other thing. You see here what a pujari does. No, you can worship of Sri Krishna. What, I have to go lower, or... Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Good. Now?
Yes.
Thank you. See, we are speaking now about meditating or thinking of Krishna in the heart. Yes? Now, Prabhupada said we should welcome him there. What does it mean to welcome Krishna and to worship him? It is disturbing for Krishna if you do this in the wrong way. Just like, for instance, if you would be a guest to someone and the person would say, oh, you have come, here is some nice German beer for you. You would go like, look, I want mango juice. You wouldn't say it most probably because you are cultured and you go to the Radhadesh conferences and you don't bring your worldview into theirs, but you would feel not very happy at heart. If you want to worship Krishna, or if you want to receive him, it's good to know what are his habits, isn't it? When you have a guest, and you feel like very excited to have him, and you want to find out, well, what does he like to eat? Is it strawberries with cream, or is it more pizza, or I'm ready. Is it Italian lasagna, or better pasta that's more simple? You want to find out and make it good for the guest if you care about the guest. So we have taken these items now. What you do when you do puja, how you worship the Lord, what you do there. First, you purify thoroughly the place of worship. Is this clear? You just wipe it, you make it clear. Now what do you do when you want to receive Krishna in the mind? Any idea how to purify the mind? Mahamantra. You can't take a cloth, rub the mind, clean, you have to have some other tool. Then the next point is prepare all the paraphernalia to worship Sri Krishna. Like we heard from the Brahmana, he got his water together. The third, it's much better if you read it, because then you're more active. Please read the third point. Oh, yes. Tell him, welcome. Swagatam suswaganam sharanagatam Krishna. This means welcome Krishna, most welcome Krishna. Sharanagatam, I take shelter under your lotus feet, Krishna. It's beautiful, huh? Welcome, welcome. Then, next point. Yes. Asked him to take a seat on the opulent decorated throne. Here you sit. Isn't it very personal? When you have a guest, you have to offer him a seat. Then next. With prayers. Yes, welcome him and praise him with prayers. Like Prabhupada gave us this wonderful Chintamani prayers. And so on. Next point. Take off Sri Krishna's clothes and offer him a gamsha. Mm-hmm. Yes, you want to give him a bathing. So he has traveled. He is now refreshment is necessary. Washing. Where do you start? Next point. Wash Sri Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. Then in puja, what you do in puja, offer a conch of water with grains. I have a good idea, because all of you are writing, or many of you are writing this down. I will make a photocopy of this. Then you don't have to write like, and you can't concentrate. Tomorrow, for my seminar, you will get a photocopy of this. This is much better. Then it's also so nice, you know, take something home. Offer a conch of, I will go quickly with you through this. Offer a conch of water with grains above his head. This is Vedic. Offer him spiced water to wash his mouth. This is a puja. In puja department, you take, you have an archman with spiced water, because with the spiced water, the appetite starts. Everything gets ready in the mouth for the event to happen. Then, offer him a sweet welcome drink. Who knows what is this welcome drink which you offer Krishna? Madhupaka. This is made from milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, and sugar water. It's not exactly pancharamut. And you can offer put two lassi in it also for more increased value of the preparation. Mm-hmm. Then, massage Sri Krishna's whole body with scented oil. This is what a pujari does. Now you know what happens behind the curtains. Then, bathe Sri Krishna with perfumed Ganges water. You take the poured from precious pots. The pujari actually brings Ganges water. There's some perfume in it, and then Abhishek. Then, obviously, the next thing, you need to dry Sri Krishna's body with a soft towel. There's in the spiritual world, there's one gopi who does this. Ranganamala is her name. She's a towel person who wipes the Lord. Then, offer him spiced water to wash his mouth again. Then, because Krishna is the best of Brahmins, you offer him a new sacred thread. A Brahmin thread. We will have 2 more minutes. I know you get, we're a little beyond time, but we need to finish this because we can't start tomorrow. Decorate his face and the upper part of his body with tilak marks. This is what the pujari draws, a tilak. Sometimes Krishna's tilak is only a half moon. This is what Mother Yashoda puts on little Krishna. Then, offer precious silk garments to Sri Krishna. How does Krishna like to carry his dhoti? What is his preferred color? Oh, but no, yellow is absolutely, no. It must be lightning yellow. It must be like a flash. Yellow alone is so boring. golden lightning yellow. Yes. Then, decorate him with the most wonderful ornaments. What does Krishna wear on his chest? Kaustubha jewel. It has the form of a calf and is red. And has he anything on his arms? Jewels, bangles. On his feet? Anchor bells. And then we jump to a few, go over a few things. You go have a nice forest, give a flower garland. How is this called? Vajrajanti. Up to how long should it be? Until the knee. Good. Then you offer tulasi leaves with sandalwood paste. You put first sandalwood paste. The pujari puts first sandalwood paste and then sticks it on the feet. And then you start your artik. Offer him an excellent incense, ghee lamp, nice smelling flowers. Then you offer him, then comes the boga. Offer him foodstuff prepared with love and devotion. Then again, worship him with selected prayers. And in the end, sing, play music, and dance for Sri Krishna. It's a very festival. Krishna is, I think you were saying, a very playful personality. Sing, dance, and for Sri Krishna. This is what a pujari does. And if you want to sometimes welcome Krishna in your heart, you can take one of the items. Maybe it's a little complicated to do everything, but you can do in your mind something, and you will get the list tomorrow. I'm sorry that I have to be so fast, but we are over our time. Thank you very, very much for coming, and please come tomorrow for more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.